When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station, and of course, a valued friend. And he joins us now as all guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
That's a great question. And I turn it back on you. What is going on?
Well, it's It's chaotic times at House Hall right now, guys. And, you know, I rarely have in season, especially mid season, suggested or promoted the idea of a coaching change. And as we talked about it last Monday, while I was still in Phoenix, I thought it was something Matt Eberflus would take a hard look at with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron after a particularly poor effort against the Cardinals and really, you know, poor start to the season offensively all the way around. And the Bears chose not to. And, you know, you take a step back and you look at it and you say, why do you continue down the path with this offensive coordinator? And they could probably look at it and say, hey, we're 500, which they were. They were 4-4. They had had some pretty good games against lesser competition, Jacksonville and Carolina, where Caleb Williams had played pretty well. You saw signs of progress, and you say, we're headed back home. We've got a weak New England team coming in. Here's an opportunity to get back on track. Well, that weak New England team came in and kicked the Bears all around Soldier Field in a 19-3 game. And it's worse than it was a week ago. And if they were unwilling to consider the move last week, you would think it would be on the table this week. But either way, I won't be surprised at what the outcome is, at what potentially Matt Eberflus has to announce a little bit later on today at House Hall.
So, Brad, that announcement, if it comes, will be later than usual. They moved Matt Eberflus's availability back from 10:45 to noon. Do you read anything into that? And if they do appoint a new play caller, who do you expect that to be?
Yeah, I'm not going to read in too much in the schedule changes because, I mean, the reality is their schedule shifts all the time, right? It's going to be at this time on one day, and then it's at another time. So I'm sure some people will wrap their arms around that and rejoice and say that means change is coming. I would just say not so fast. I wouldn't be surprised either way at this point. Because if you're firing the offensive coordinator you hired after last season, 9 games into the year, that's also an indictment of what you've been doing as well. If they do make a change, you would think passing game coordinator Thomas Brown would be the likely in-house candidate. He did a little bit of play calling last season for what was a very messy Carolina Panthers offense. If they want to get wild, and it's the Bears, so we know generally they don't want to get wild, but could it hurt to pick up the phone and call John Gruden down in Florida, right?
Like, whoa.
You could do worse than that. Again, that would be pretty wild, and I don't think the Bears would consider that for a second, but it's at least worth wondering about.
If you're calling John Gruden, it is not to call plays, it is to be your head coach, right?
Well, they got to straighten out they got to get offense going. The defense yesterday, the Patriots had 5 red zone possessions. They got only 1 touchdown. It wasn't a great defensive effort by any. But hey, they started a new streak of holding opponents to 21 points or less. They got that going for them yesterday.
Bigsy, have you run this idea past Roger Goodell?
No, I have not. I've got Roger, and I haven't spoken in a little while, but wow, I said wild.
That is wild.
I think Thomas Brown would be the guy, but you've at least who do they know? What connections do they have that they consider to be sharp offensive minds that are not in the building? Right? What resources could potentially be available to them? I mean, that's stuff that they, you would hope, had been at least considering before this morning or late yesterday afternoon. But they've got a crisis. Listen, they've scored 27 points in the last 3 games. Let me give you in the last 21 seasons, the previous 3 examples of the Bears scoring 27 points or less in a 3-game stretch. It happened in 2011, when Jay Cutler was out with a broken thumb and was replaced by Caleb Haney. It happened twice in 2004, the first time with Jonathan Quinn at the helm and the second time with Chad Hutchinson as the starting quarterback.
Wow.
That's the depth of dysfunction that this team is at right now. And that 2004 team, I'm not going to be a guy that's sitting here providing a list of excuses for Terry Shea, who was in completely over his head as the offensive coordinator. But my goodness, they didn't have skill position talent to prop up any of the quarterbacks that they rolled out that season. Craig Krenzel being another guy that got a shot. 2011, they didn't have near the skill position talent for Caleb Haney that they've got right now. It's what makes their ongoing struggles so indictable. They're terrible on first down. They're terrible on third down. They cannot get explosive plays. Their second most explosive play yesterday was a roughing the passer penalty when the game was basically already decided. There's a lot to sort through. I don't know to what level you can fix any of this with 8 games to remaining in the season. And their divisional opponents, Packers, Vikings, Lions, up next in that order, are going to show no mercy.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Does Gruden have a personal offensive line vineyard down there in Florida?
Yeah, boy. Can he bring some of those monsters that he had when he was with the Raiders the first time? Heck, even the Raiders the last time. I mean, that They got run all over by some of those big guys. Yeah, that's an issue here. Only having seven linemen to dress for the game yesterday, and then Tevin Jenkins once again leaves the game with an injury. He was in a walking boot after the game. I'll give him credit. He's been able to start every game this season, but it just seems like almost every other week he comes out of the game prematurely with an injury. And you know, for a depleted unit, that's just another trouble spot and problem.
When you look at Caleb Williams, Brad, how much danger are they in him becoming the latest version of David Carr because of the path that he's on and the abuse that he's taking and punishment, really, that he's absorbing? I wonder if a new play caller, if they do go that route, will take some measures to take more responsibility out of his hands, not give him as much at the line of scrimmage, maybe to process or consider, and maybe move the pocket and maybe run the football a little bit more, because they can't continue to drop back deep in a pocket that collapses so quickly.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday's a little bit abnormal because both the offensive tackles missed the game, and I think the hope is that Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright will be back to play against Green Bay this coming week. But the line hasn't been great with those guys out there, and they've got to find ways to improve. Certainly, you would think any new hire would prioritize protecting the quarterback and running the football.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is, because their problems.
Right. I mean, you can a guy and bring a new guy in, and there's going to be rejoice and hey, the Bears know what to do. I don't know that
you actually get better.
Right. I don't confuse activity for achievement, as former general manager Jerry Angelo once said. So, I think something's warranted. Eberflus is in a desperate situation, and that likely calls for desperate measures, one would think. I mean, they're 4-5. We've seen Bears seasons in tatters, in disarray before, guys, and usually the record is considerably worse than it is right now. Now, they could be headed toward that. If you look at the remaining schedule, and one thing I wrote this morning is that, you know, I think a lot of the expectations for this team were completely out of whack during the offseason, before the season started, but it was certainly reasonable to expect them to be improved off a 7-10 season from a year ago. Good luck finding me four more wins on the remaining schedule. That is going to be a difficult achievement for this team. That is a tough ask right now for the way they're playing and the opponents that they have lined up waiting for them.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Speaking of general managers, Brad, how long before the scrutiny shifts from obviously Matt Eberflus and the head coaching situation, which we think will take care of itself, to Ryan Poles and the roster that he put together that was so weak at the offensive line position?
Listen, until they get better up front, it's valid criticism. And they haven't been good enough, and they're going to need to rebuild that thing. He was in Kansas City when the Chiefs got overrun up front by Tampa Bay in Super Bowl 55. And Kansas City had both its starting offensive tackles out of that game and some other injuries up front. And what did the Chiefs do? They went into the offseason, and that was their almost sole focus. They brought in four new starters. They signed Joe Tooney in free agency to a huge contract. They traded for Orlando Brown. They drafted Creed Humphrey at center. And they got a guard in the sixth round by the name of Trey Smith. Might not be a household name, probably isn't. Will likely get a contract north of $20 million a season in the upcoming offseason, provided he doesn't play on the franchise tag in Kansas City. So the Chiefs went out and completely rebuilt the protection for Patrick Mahomes. It's totally fair to criticize their shortcomings on the offensive line. You go back to free agency, and it was a great spot for the Bears. They were loaded with salary cap space. There just wasn't a lot down at the offensive line store to get excited about. There were more guys out there that you looked at them and you said, well, they go out and sign this guy and he could help. But you looked at him and you said, well, this could be like Nate Davis all over again, where you're overpaying for a guy who's not going to come near giving you the performance, the bang for the buck. It was a bad year to be in free agency needing offensive linemen. The supply did not meet the demand. In the draft, would have been incredible had they been able to get West Virginia center Zach Frazier. Fantastic player. Went in the middle of round two to the Steelers. The Bears were without a second-round pick because of the Montez Sweat trade, which I think everybody agrees the Sweat trade was a good move and has helped the football team in a significant way. They've got draft capital this year. They've got that pick coming from Carolina. They've got their own first, their own second. I think it's, talking to people early on, it's going to be a good draft for linemen. But Ed Poles has got to take criticism for the group that they've got out there right now because it hasn't been adequate. The quarterback's been hit too much. The sack total is out of whack, and they're paying the price.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. And really, we had talked a lot about how they have to be quarterback-centric, right? They've drafted this kid, and you know, you moved him along, and you made him a captain, and you've done everything to hand over the keys to the franchise, but he's in peril. You've got to protect him. You got to figure out – and I mean, you know, I saw Tyson Bagent warming up. I understand they're down – two touchdowns and two extra points. I mean, I get it, but or two
possession
two point
game.
Conversions.
Yeah.
But I mean, the kid got sacked 9 times. That you can't do it. You just can't let that happen, especially with how beaten up they are. And they've got to start putting his concerns first.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots had like 8 sacks in the previous 6 games combined. Yeah. The Patriots have been so inept rushing the quarterback that they went out and claimed on waivers Yannick Ngakoue the other day. So they haven't been able to rush the quarterback, and then they suddenly play the Bears, and it's like a party in the backfield for them. So that's a huge concern. It's got to be a key talking point in the building today. I'm sure it was near the top of the order of business this morning. And again, in an unusual situation with both starting offensive tackles out, but they haven't been good enough with those guys in the lineup either. And it's all of them. It's the linemen. It's the receivers. We heard him talk about having route discipline. It's Caleb. Like in the first half, there were certainly opportunities where there were some sacks where the ball needed to come out, and it would have been reasonable to expect the ball to come out in a handful of those situations. So that 9 number, which is the second most the Bears have allowed in a game, first time they've hit that number since Justin Fields' first start in 2021 at Cleveland. Probably should have been an ugly number that looked like 6 or even 5, but it is what it is, and they're struggling in every conceivable way offensively. And I thought that the run defense, which we talked about at length, was a fair question, was okay yesterday, that they did a decent job. They hold up in the red zone, but just had no punchback. And you get the really nice punt return from DeAndre Carter to open things up there in the first quarter. You're set up for business at midfield, and you know, just familiar first quarter woes. Can't get anything going, and just abysmal on third down. Oh, 1 for 14. The shortest they had was a 3rd and 3 because they were behind the sticks the whole way. How do you get really bad on third down? Well, it generally starts with you're terrible on first down, which they were. I think they averaged like 3-some-odd yards a play on first down. So it was just bad all the way around.
Quickly, Brad, Olin Kruse alluded to something I wanted to get your opinion on. Second series of the second half, 3 straight passes to Cole Kmet. Olin suggested that that was on purpose, that was intentional, that Caleb Williams might have been trying to do something to prove a point, or maybe it was Shane Waldron calling those pass plays. Was there anything more than those were just the plays that they wanted to execute? Was there anything more to that in your view?
I don't know if there was more to that. You know, Kmet wasn't targeted in the first half. He had 1 target in the previous 2 games. Cole's just one of the skill position guys that they're not getting involved with. DJ Moore.
Yeah.
What is it? 6 games this year, has had 36 yards receiving or less. Keenan Allen hasn't had a 50-yard game. Like, and Cole's probably the most obvious one that stands out right now as in terms of a quality player that just isn't seeing the ball. It's all the way around. Was there something intentional to that? I don't know. But I do know this, Cole's not getting the ball enough, DJ isn't. They're not getting the ball in situations where they can make plays after the catch and be a threat. They've got talent that if you get the ball in their hands, you feel good about the Bears' matchups, right? You know, the Patriots' defense, Christian Gonzalez is a really nice second-year cornerback. The rest of those guys on defense, you'll get them, okay, well, Bears should be pretty good here. And it was the opposite. They were pretty bad.
Thank you, Big Z. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
Boy.
John Gruden. Wow.
Yeah, that blew my mind. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The past 3 weeks coming out of the bye, and definitely not where we envision ourselves at this point in time, especially coming off the bye and, you know, how we were feeling at that point. But, you know, we've definitely, offensively speaking, taken a pretty big step back, and we got to find ways to claw back here and get back to at least to where we were before the bye week.
But we need to have a sense of urgency. I'm speaking offensively. We got to be better. Like I said, back to work. We got another opportunity next week, so we got to make the most of that one. Put this one behind us, get better, correct what we need to correct, and you know what I mean, move on.
Just got to look all of ourselves in the mirror and just critique what's going on. Look at the film. Don't get sour from it, but learn from it and keep rolling.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You heard an order there. Frank Kmet actually got a couple passes thrown to him. DeAndre Swift, he was on the team in the first half. And, of course, Larry Borum. I haven't heard from Larry much, so it was cool to hear that, too.
No, you heard one after another, guys, trying to put this in some sort of perspective. I would have liked to hear somebody ask Cole Kmet about getting three straight passes to him and what that suggested about Caleb Williams and what he heard all week. But I don't know that that came to mind. Look, everything seems to be fair game this week. It's a free-for-all at Hallis Hall until we get some order restored, if any order will be restored. That is the hope. I don't know if it's the promise, but that is the hope.
All right. Tonight's the night. You can join Coach Wonstead, Coach Dave Wonstead, and Mark Grody tonight live at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. They're at the Four Winds Football Forecast, the event. Free to the public. It starts at 6:30 Eastern, which is 5:30 Central. It's just in Michigan, 5:30 to 6:30. And Wani will be giving a mid-season review and forecast for the rest of the season. Dustin says they won't win again. I'll be curious to find out what Wani tells you. Plus, you can get an autograph and a photo with Coach Wonstead before that Monday night game. That's tonight at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. Mark Grody worth the price of admission, but Dave worth more than that.
It's going to be a fun night. Yeah, looking forward to that kind of analysis. You should be able to get there if you can and really enjoy that. This is a big week for the Bears. This is a big day. So Matt Eberflus will meet the media at noon, presumably to discuss what they decide to do about the play calling duties. Is that going to be enough? No, it's not going to be enough. You need somebody who is going to affect change. You're just looking for something that's different from the last 3 weeks, which have been miserable. Miserable to be a Bears fan, to be a Bears player, to be part of the Bears organization. And you know what that will be? That will be a good start because you have a lot of work to do.
All right. We've got a lot of people who want to check in who have waited patiently, and we're going to get to all your calls. Coach V is in Englewood. Hey, Coach V.
Hey, Coach V.
Y'all get in line back there. Get in line.
Okay. We're in line.
What do you got?
Us? Hey, Coach V.
See, I can't even tell this comment that I don't want to go to a field trip.
Okay, Coach V is busy.
We could put him on hold, maybe. Oh, we just cut him off. Ben is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ben.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is, to be honest, the first time I've called a station since Trust been through color underneath the bus, so I call it good times. I was just thinking about what's happened with Eberflus is five times historically bad losses. They were up with 90% plus chance of winning late in games, and they blew it. And then the start of the HBO series, he has Williams in the, you know, in his meeting room after the Bills game. He's like, you know, how'd you feel? And Williams' answer is, oh, practice are harder than games. And it feels like Eberflus gets so up on himself, like, we're great, we are good, and then it gets complacent. I think so. Happened to Jenna Bye. They were good, they were great, and then things are trekking up. And then it's just like the Broncos game last year, the Lions games two years ago. You know, they think they're good, and then they like put their foot off the gas, and then boom, everything drops. I mean, falls apart. I think that's what happened to Bye. I think that's where I'm right now. The Eberflus can't keep them momentum pushing forward to get a good result in the end. You just can't play all the way through. And just frustrating to see that.
Thanks,
again.
Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, he's saying that the bye week did him in.
Well, something changed.
Something did happen.
It's just lack of momentum. I think the next game, I don't know if it was the bye or the lack of execution, preparation, all the things that contributed to the Hail Mary play. The Bears really never recovered from that. And this is going to be the story of the season. There's a before and there's an after. Before that play, if they escape there with a victory, some of the issues are easier to rationalize. When they lose the way that they lost, it brought everything into doubt and easier to question. So that was the pivot point of the season. Unfortunately, it keeps spiraling now out of control.
Let's try Mike in Naperville. Hey, Mike.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
All right, Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Yep. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the hiring process. for both Poles and Eberflus. I tend to be optimistic. I didn't think the Bears were going to be good at the beginning of the year. They're rebuilding. They've been doing that for years. They're about where they are, where I thought they would be. But if I remember right, didn't the Bears hire Eberflus before they hired Poles? Wasn't that the scenario?
No, they hired Poles first.
Poles was first, yeah.
Hire Eberflus. He had a choice of a couple of guys. I think Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus.
And Jim Caldwell. They were the three
Jim
finalists.
Caldwell.
Yeah.
That's right.
So okay. Poles came first, then Eberflus. I'm not sure what point you were trying to make there, but now they both are in situations where their jobs are in jeopardy. I think the seat becomes hotter. You wonder if yesterday was one of those moments where you remember the back-to-back 50-point losses. They weren't 50-point losses, but the Bears gave up 50 or more points back in 2014, and it was the beginning of the end. They lost, I think, to the Patriots and then to the Packers. And at Lambeau Field, the McCaskies met, and they decided to come. Yesterday felt like something similar in that it was maybe a point of no return. If you were believing in something yesterday, it seemed like maybe that changed.
Brooke is in the western suburbs. Hey, Brooke.
Guys, good morning. Welcome back, Molly.
Thank you.
This is a coaching issue from top down. I think they need a clean house, Poles included, and there's a certain coach that's available if we can tear him away from his 24-year-old girlfriend that could probably be here by dinner time.
Unless he has plans.
I think tonight he'll be on the Manning cast.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Are they doing that tonight?
Isn't it a Monday night? Don't they always do it?
Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks, Brooke.
I don't think Bill Belichick's coming to Chicago.
I don't know that the I'd be very curious to see
what
would happen in Hallis Hall if he did.
I can't imagine. Now, this is probably getting way ahead of ourselves. Yeah. But if you are looking for a head coach, it's hard for me to envision Kevin Warren being part of that process, which we know that he would be front and center, and then hiring somebody who would be a strong-willed, my way or the highway head coach.
Would Bill have to take over the stadium thing? Because you know Ryan Poles would no longer really be needed.
Well, that's the thing. Kevin Warren is not going to hire a head coach if that job becomes vacant that is more powerful than the general manager. Bill Belichick's not going to take a job to be head coach unless he's more powerful than the general manager.
Really?
Yeah, really, Bill. And I think a lot of coaches who will be candidates or quasi-candidates or dream candidates will fall under the same category. Yeah. More likely, they're going to hire somebody who has either been a recycled offensive mind, Cliff Kingsbury, or a new first-time head coach, Ben Johnson. I don't know if either of those would want to come to Chicago
How do you hire Cliff Kingsbury, given that you didn't hire him as your offensive coordinator?
Well, if you are looking for a head coach, you're essentially admitting defeat. So everything that you thought that you did right, you did wrong. Mm. So you would have to say, all right, we are humbly coming to you to interview this again for a different job, a different role. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. But I think that would be the scenario.
But it's, I mean, like, why don't they hire Bill Belichick? You get him here by he could do the Manning cast from Hallis Hall. Well, why don't we go get John Gruden?
Sounds like technology's not the greatest at Hallis Hall with communication. Sounds like.
Oh, I don't know.
Things aren't really. They have good cell service there. I'm not sure.
I think once you get out of there, you get problems.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Do we have any more like hysterical kind of rabid dreams that we could share with each other?
What do you mean?
I mean, they're not going to get John Gruden.
No.
They're not going to get Bill Belichick.
No, but you knew that was happening today.
I know.
You know those are the names that are going to be thrown out there.
No.
Who else do you want to throw out there? Pete Carroll? Nah.
Well, Pete Carroll's available.
He's available. Mike Vrabel.
No, he's not available. Vrabel is working in Cleveland,
I think. Available to be a head coach.
He's working for another team.
Nobody's coming in the middle of a season and making a change. This isn't the NBA. This isn't Major League Baseball.
You're not allowed to talk to Vrabel is my point.
Oh, well, you can wait.
You just can't name it. These other people you could talk to immediately.
I'm talking about guys with head coaching experience who would be considered strong personalities.
How about you hire Scott Turner to become the offensive coordinator, then you could bring Norvin behind the scenes. Oh, no, they did that in Vegas.
That's what they're doing in Vegas. No, that's not going to fly.
I'm just saying.
No. Nick Saban's available. Who else you want a dream candidate?
Nick
Saban. These are the kind of
things. So the problem can't be fixed, in other words. There's no solution until this year is over and done with.
This year is probably one you're going to have to write off, either with Matt Eberflus finishing the job that he has started.
Right.
Or if he is fired mid-season, in-season, first time they've ever done that, then there's no plausible way that you can convince me that they were going to be contenders this year.
Well, not contenders, but isn't this supposed to be about Caleb Williams?
Yes, exactly.
So aren't you hurting him? Sticking with what they're doing now for the...
Well, that's today's mission.
So how do you fix it today?
We'll find out. Today is going to be...
How does David Haw? How does Mike Mulligan?
We've been talking about that.
What do you think we're talking about?
We've been talking about that. This is what's going to happen, Dustin. Yeah. They're going to announce it at noon, or maybe they'll wait until Wednesday. But they're going to say Shane Waldron is either demoted or fired. They may be working out the details
probably
now.
Demoted.
Thomas Brown is going to be the play caller. I would recommend change for the sake of change. Maybe it'll be somebody else like Chris Morgan. But no, that is the way they're going to address this. That is the way they're going to try to save Caleb Williams' rookie season, which seems very lost and misdirected right now.
You're going to move Shane Waldron into the eye in the sky. You move him into the press box, let him look down on things while you have a different play caller. That's what you're going to do. And if you don't do that, then you got no answer.
You have no personnel changes that you can make that make any sense.
No.
The roster is what the roster is.
That's exactly
your
right.
Coaching responsibilities can and should and need to change. That's what today should be about. If Matt Eberflus says anything else at noon, then he is as short-sighted as everyone is accusing him of being.
I mean, he's that's another guy on the clock. I don't think the Bears are going to fire him this year, but he's replaced at the end of the season when he does nothing about this. This is a big moment for the franchise. You just got to respond to what we're looking at.
This is a big moment for Ryan Poles.
Oh, a huge
if this
moment.
Is not handled well
yes.
in a way that shows some sort of respect for what you're squandering in the way of Caleb Williams' rookie season, then as soon as they're done playing the Packers at Lambeau in January, the 17th game of the season, his seat becomes immediately hotter too.
No shadow.
You cannot go into next year if you have done things that can't harm your quarterback any more than they have put him in harm's way.
Your general manager will get a chance to hire another coach, but he's got to play this correctly. And if he doesn't, then you have no leadership and there's a void and everyone's got it.
I think he's also got the team president on his side.
Yeah.
I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where Ryan Poles, regardless of how this second half of the season plays out, loses his job and Kevin Warren is responsible for that move. If Kevin Warren, I think, is making the decisions, Ryan Poles, his seat won't get hot. That doesn't mean it shouldn't, but I just don't think it will.
I think he's going to have a little humiliating moment where – he's watered and the sun is brought in. Maybe he should go to Dallas and then he can have all the sun he wants in that stadium.
I'm not sure how much this season will go to humbling Kevin Warren. I'm not sure you can humble Kevin Warren.
Didn't Kevin Warren say he wanted to be the sun and the water for growing the guy?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Yeah,
years
that was
ago.
Profound.
Whatever.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.